It's all here.
A no-hitter, grand slam.
Have all the fun you want.
Every moment, every game.
Make sure you guys tune in.
Catch the White Sox only on NBC Sports Chicago.
This is the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Casey Johnson, joined today by my NBC Sports Chicago teammates, Rob Schaefer and Tony Gill. Coming up on the show, we are going to break down Patrick Williams being named second team all-rookie and what that means for the Bulls moving forward. We're also going to explore the coaching vacancies around the league and just how the Bulls avoided that situation with Billy Donovan's smooth first season. We also will talk about the NBA draft lottery, which takes place next Tuesday.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Let's shift the attention to, I don't think you guys gave me enough love for my 15-year-old making dinner and like literally almost giving me a heart attack when I walked in the door.
What did he make?
He made turkey meatloaf, which I can't eat, but God bless him. Turkey meatloaf, mashed potatoes, salad, and fruit salad.
Whoa. Dude,
that is so much more advanced than what I make for myself. That is unbelievable.
It was for him and his brother, and I just had like some veggie dish and the mashed potatoes, so it was pretty solid. Anyway, yeah.
Were you surprised?
Dude, I seriously almost fell over when I walked in from baseball practice. And that's why I'm able to do this now as opposed to a half hour from now. I thought I was going to be making dinner.
So that's obviously out of the ordinary. Is this his first meal that he's made?
He likes to cook with my wife, but my wife's out of town. So he did it solo. I mean, that's the amazing part. Like the entire time we were at baseball practice, he was working his ass off in the kitchen, man.
Mm. Casey's got his house in order, man.
Not usually. All right. All right, gents, we have some news. NBA All-Rookie Teams announced as we welcome you into the Bulls Talk Podcast, joined by Tony Gill and Rob Schaefer and Patrick Williams. Second team selection, second straight year the Bulls have an All-Rookie selection following Kobe White in 2020. Let's run down the teams and then we'll get into it a little bit. First team, really no surprises, LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Haliburton. The only surprise there was that Haliburton actually drew one second team vote. Can't wait to find out when they release those, who that was. Ball and Edwards on all 99 ballots as a first team member. Sadiq Bey from Detroit and Jashaun Tate round out the first team. Second team, Emmanuel Quickley, Desmond Bane, Isaiah Stewart, Isaac Okoro, and Patrick Williams. Now, Patrick is the last person to make the team. It's just straight up vote. It's not done by positions. He drew two first team votes, 46 second team votes for a total of 50 points, three behind Okoro and eight clear of Facundo Campazzo from Denver. So somewhat of a comfortable margin, but the last rookie claiming the last rookie spot on the 10 teams, which actually doesn't really surprise me. Rob and I were kicking this around via text earlier in the day. And I said it's going to be close, and I was right, but it's pretty well-deserved. We'll start with you, Rob. Why do you think it's well-deserved?
Yeah, so as we were talking about earlier today, Casey texting about it, I think there were six locks, basically, which are the first-team guys, and Quickley. Then you figure Bane and Stewart find their way in there because they were both particularly impressive. And then I thought Pat was kind of in a class with, you know, Okoro, Campazzo, Cole Anthony, I don't think we mentioned earlier, but James Wiseman and Peyton Pritchard, those are kind of the first names off. I thought Pat was at kind of the top end of that kind of throng right there for guys kind of fighting for those last two spots. And, you know, I don't think that I felt particularly strongly either way, because once we're getting into the fringe of all rookie second team, you know, this stuff just, it doesn't matter that much, frankly. Obviously, you know, Bulls fans and Patrick, although I'm sure if we could talk to Patrick right now, he wouldn't give two craps about it. But, you know, people do have a right to be excited about it because it is gratification for, you know, what wasn't a perfect season for him, but was promising, I would say. But as I was getting together the news post that we just put up about it, you know, you just look at the volume of what he did to start 71 of 72 games. Obviously, he misses one game for kind of an isolated injury thing. Just the sheer amount of minutes he played, he was fourth in among rookies in minutes, almost 2,000 minutes, 1,983. That's third on the Bulls behind only Kobe White and Zach LaVine. That's pretty impressive for a 19-year-old to start all the to start all those games, to play all those minutes. You know, all the total statistics, he's in the top 3 to 8 range of pretty much any category you could think of. And that's what all rookie is kind of about: production, counting stats. You know, how do you value those things stacked up against each other, and just kind of how you equate yourself. I thought Pat, for all the mixed results guarding, you know, opposing teams, top options, again, for the context of where he is in his NBA career, I thought it was impressive to embrace that. And he certainly had moments and flashes and things like that. So I thought it was deserved. It could have gone either way. And I don't think Bulls fans should get too ratcheted up either way on it. But, you know, I do think it was deserved for the opportunity that he earned and seized, and just kind of what he was able to do with the sheer volume of minutes that he got. So it's a nice little feather in his cap going into a big off season. And the Bulls do need him to crack into, you know, one of the best 3 to 5 players in this class at some point in his career. And maybe that's next year, but for now, like I said, it's a nice feather in his cap.
Tony, do you think he was going to make it?
I didn't. And I didn't, I knew he played a lot of minutes, and he, for me, he got in just by the sheer amount of minutes that he got. Is like, you're paying that many minutes, you're going to run into stats.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to run into the counting stats. So, but yeah, I didn't think in terms of, if you talk about, did he have a better season than Peyton Pritchard? I don't think so. Did he have a better season? Did he have better moments than Cole Anthony? I don't think so. So, yeah, I mean, I think this was just a sheer, he played a bunch of minutes and he was just there all the time. Like, if you want to count like his availability as a skill, which is a huge skill to have, I mean, yeah, definitely he seems to have that. But in terms of just, he needs to do a lot going into next year for, I know, at the end of his statement, Rob mentioned he's going to need to turn into, you know, one of the top three players in his class. And that is already looking rough for right now. So, but yeah, I mean, it's fine that he got it. I mean, it's going to be on his player reference page when it comes up. So I guess that's cool. But this can't be, you know, the end. He's got to continue to grow.
So I think you bring up a good point, Tony, as we wrap, put a little bow on this, but because really, if you think about it, Patrick Williams did not have many signature moments, many like just games with that made you just go, whoa. I mean, he just kind of had more of a slow and steady wins the race kind of approach to his rookie season. I mean, there are definitely individual moments, obviously the block shot that Rob probably could write like 1500 words on.
Still think about it every night.
Yeah. The half court shot and the, you know, non excited reaction that drew some that went viral a little bit on Twitter, the big scoring game down the stretch, I believe that was at Brooklyn. They all kind of run together now.
Yeah. He had one against Toronto too. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. No 30 to 35 point explosion, just a right. Couple little bump ups. Yeah.
Right. And Cole Anthony is, as Tony alluded to, had that game winner, maybe actually had a couple game winners. So there really wasn't, like, you're right. And there wasn't any like just, he didn't have a lot of wow you moments, but I do think starting 71 games played a big role in this, I would think, with the voters. And then also just, you know, obviously the high profile defensive assignments. Kawhi Leonard said something complimentary about him. So, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't make it, and it didn't surprise me that he did make it. And I think the fact that he claimed the last spot kind of puts that in summation right there. Because I'm the Bulls beat historian and I love history, I do need to read you the all rookie members from throughout the franchise history, because I just love this kind of stuff. Erwin Mueller, 66-67 first team. Clifford Ray, Scott May, Reggie Theus, David Greenwood, Quentin Daly. There's this guy, let me look, Michael, starts with a J. I can't quite make it. Michael Jordan. Yeah, Michael Jordan, 80-45. Charles Oakley, Stacey King. Shout out to the second team for the broadcaster. Tony Kukoc, Elton Brand, Ron Artest, Marcus Fizer, Jay Williams, Kirk Heinrich, Luol Deng, Ben Gordon, Tyrus Thomas, Derrick Rose, Taj Gibson, Nikola Mirotic, Lauri Markkanen, and Kobe White. Of recent vintage, Markkanen, Mirotic, Gibson, and Rose all first team. White and Williams second team. So there you go.
You know what that tells me, Casey?
What?
They're making an all rookie team. Doesn't always mean anything. And and you can be, you know, just because, and I'm kind of going both ways, because it could have gone either way, this vote. If he hadn't made it, it wouldn't have been the end of the world either, because I didn't hear Jimmy Butler's name among many other people. So, you know, an all rookie team is not going to make or break your career. But again, nice feather in the cap. I thought promising rookie season in moments for Patrick Williams. I wouldn't call it, you know, like you guys said, it didn't jump off the page always, but promising, I think, is the word that I would.
Also, random thing, funniest names in Bulls history, Marcus Fizer and Ron Mercer. They just make me laugh every time.
How about Dalibor Bagaric? I mean, he's in my Twitter bio. Come on, man.
Till the end of time.
Yeah. Ron Mercer's shot selection made me laugh, but I digress. all right. So yeah, shout out to Patrick Williams. Congrats on the all rookie second team honors. Good feather for the organization as well. We're going to move on to, just an insane week of NBA news, added to today by, perhaps, as we tape this on a Thursday, maybe I'm wrong here because I got a little Twitter blowback on this, but to me, this was the biggest story of all of them that have come down this week. And that's Rick Carlisle stepping away from a Mavericks job he's held for 13 seasons. Obviously, there's a pretty explosive article in The Athletic kind of talking about some internal dynamics there. The reason why this is so surprising to me is obviously Carlisle, you know, is a very successful coach and just obviously seemed like have a long time partnership with Mark Cuban. But also, I mean, he's walking away from a pretty damn good player. And obviously, you know, there's also some reporting leading to maybe some simmering tension brewing there between Carlisle and Luka Doncic. I can't speak to that. I don't cover the team. I'm not in the locker room. But anyway, I thought that was hugely surprising. But where we want to go with this is, you know, that's seven coaching openings now. And two of them are guys that were hired just last year. Nate Bjorken obviously fired from the Pacers after one season. And then Stan Van Gundy fired this week by the Pelicans after just one season. And what we were kind of struck by is just how this kind of brings into light how seamlessly and smoothly Billy Donovan's first season went with the Bulls. All you heard about throughout the season was the connection he had with players, the respect he had in the locker room. You know, I know there are some fans that nitpick some of his rotations and his game decisions and things like that, but if you look at just what Arturis Karnišovas wanted to achieve with his first coaching hire, and you see how some of these other coaching hires were big swings and misses, one with a first-time guy in Nate and another one in a proven guy in Stan Van, it just kind of makes you realize you can't take that stuff for granted. It's not nothing. And I don't know if we can kick that around, but Rob, why don't you kind of spin off that with what you think about that dynamic when it comes into Billy Donovan.
Yeah, because I think the reported threads, Casey, between the Bjorkren and the Van Gundy hires, and like you said, this is a first chance for Bjorkren, and Stan Van Gundy has been around the block a little bit, but the threads there from reading the reporting that's coming out of each place, I want to shout out Christian Clark at NOLA.com had a good piece on the Stan Van Gundy aspect. For Bjorkren, obviously that's been well documented by Bleacher Report a couple weeks ago, and it kind of all culminated in this moment. But yeah, it was just the aspect that Billy Donovan's first season, smooth might be a word for it. I just think the results were so disappointing by season's end that you know, nobody's going to say that, oh, it was a slam dunk first season, or, you know, it's unbridled optimism going forward. You know, we've talked, there are reasons for optimism, but it's cautious and we got to see where things go from here. But the relationship aspect of things, it wasn't always easy for the Bulls this year. And like you said, Billy never seemed to lose the locker room. He seemed to, not only that, but, you know, players always talked highly of him throughout the season, seemed to command respect. Obviously, the partnership, that was a big word used when Billy was hired originally. That bore out throughout the entire first season. I think him and Arturas Karnišovas have only talked more glowingly about each other the longer that they've worked together, results aside. So, you know, all of that stuff, I think, gets underrated a little bit, just because I think the human element of a lot of aspect of sport get underrated because it's entertainment and people see what's on the court. And a lot of times people don't want to look kind of deeper beyond that, or like kind of think about underlying kind of aspects that go into a lot of this stuff. But the human element, the relationship element is certainly important. And I think it's what, you know, if you are optimistic about where the Bulls are going, that's fundamental to it, is that, you know, the more that this roster improves, eventually Billy is going to be able to unlock and kind of get the most out of it, just from a motivational perspective, from a building relationships with guys and doing it that way. And that's obviously a huge part of player development too, which this regime has talked a lot about being important to them, which is something, again, to kind of monitor going forward. So that stood out to me. What also stood out to me is just, you know, multiple first year head coaches being fired by organizations. What was the Elias stat, Casey, the Elias Sports Bureau? So I think that's the fifth time in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not misquoting them, but so it's a pretty rare thing. This week in NBA news was wild. And that's just kind of what stood out to me. Just kind of, it's just weird for the Bulls to not be embroiled in a lot of this stuff. And all things considered, it's probably a good year for them to not be in the market for a coach. And it seems like they're in the market for a coach every year. But just like, look at some of these openings that are open, like Zion Williamson, Jason Tatum, Damian Lillard. And I'm missing people. Bradley Beal,
Luka Doncic.
Yeah. All these guys don't have coaches right now. Like the Bulls were, I remember we talked a lot about where they stood in the kind of vacancy power rankings last year. And it was kind of like middle ground, but you could make the case this year would have been a lot harder, although there are a lot of worthy and deserving and probably great candidates out there. But yeah, that's kind of all that stood out to me watching the coach churn is kind of how interesting it is to see the Bulls look not so dysfunctional and, you know, have a coach securely in place that really succeeded, even if the results weren't considered a success by season's end, he really succeeded in the relationship aspect of this, whereas a lot of these other first year coaches had a tougher time in that department.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Tony, which coaching vacancy or move surprised you the most of the seven? And what's your kind of overall take on where Billy stands with players in the organization?
You know, I listened to a lot of Bomani Jones. And he made a great point on one of his podcasts where he was like, you can realistically make a case for every NBA coach to be fired. Like, if you wanted to, I'm not saying like it'll be 100% right, but if you wanted to, you can make a reasonable argument why every coach in the NBA should be fired. So, yeah, I don't have a lot of reason, you know, not to believe that, you know, that any of those coaches should be fired. Like, I never really liked Scott Brooks. I thought he was kind of a mid-tier coach. We talked about Indiana and how that went down with their players ended up kind of not really being for that head coach, and they kind of slid out of the playoffs as a result. And, you know, Rick Carlisle, he's been there for a long time. And I think that for all the accolades that he has gotten, he hasn't done much after winning that championship.
I think they haven't been out of the first round since.
Right. So it's like, I mean, did I see it coming? No. Did it surprise me? Absolutely not. I made the joke on Twitter. I kind of figured Rick Carlisle was gone when his primary defense was his own. And I'm like, oh, okay. It's time for you to get up out of here now.
Well, and also back to the relationship aspect, like all of the kind of insider-ish reporting coming out of there right now, you know, Tim McMahon was just on the Low Post, Zach Lowe's podcast. I just got done listening to that. Like, it sounds like there was friction between him and Luka Doncic. And that's just the one thing you kind of can't have in this day and age in the NBA if you're a coach. And tying it back to Billy, I mean, you know, again, like it wasn't a perfect bull season. I'm sure there were people that were dissatisfied with their roles at times and things go up and down, especially results wise. But like, again, like I said, Billy and Arturis have only talked more glowingly about each other the more the season has gone on. Kind of the same thing for Billy and Zach LaVine. So, you know, there's layers to all this stuff. But the Rick Carlisle thing, I think with all the smoke coming out of Dallas lately too, Tony, to your point, that one didn't necessarily surprise me either. I'm curious to see what's next for him because would be just such an impact addition to a lot of these teams. I'll be curious if he gets right back into it.
Well, the fact that he resigned leads me to believe that he knows where he's going next. Or
at the end of his statement said, looking forward to the next chapter of my coaching career. So
So, I want to say two things: one about Billy and one about Rick. I actually got a text from somebody in the league today that said, see if Arturis had just kept Jim for 1 year, the Bulls could hire Rick Carlisle. See, everyone's got a joke in this league, man. Everyone's got a joke. I will say I'm probably a bigger Rick Carlisle fan than some people. I think he's one of the, I know they have not had much playoff success since they won a championship, but I think his game management is on point. I think he's incredibly smart. There, you know, the knock is that he's, can be a little bit brusque or you know, isn't really buddy-buddy with players. I don't know. I think players just want to be coached and, you know, want to have respectful relationships. And how can you not respect that guy? So, I don't know. I think he moves to the top of the list for, you know, available candidates for any vacancy out there. But getting back to Billy, tying this back into Billy, and I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this before we wrap up this segment and move on to the lottery. You know, one thing we heard so much from Billy at the start of last season was, I don't know these guys yet. And, you know, he clearly is a collaborative coach. It's one reason why I think players get along with him and like him and respect him as he seeks their input. And, you know, because of the atypical nature of last season, you didn't have a long training camp. You didn't have a lot of, you know, September gym time, that kind of stuff. So what I'm curious to see is how that, the change in that process, and hopefully as we get back to a more regular NBA season next season, how that's going to impact his coaching ability with his team. Because that excuse is out the window. I mean, he knows these guys. He coached Vucevic for however many games after the trade deadline. He's coached Zach for a full season. You know, I know there's going to be a lot of new guys, but he's going to have a full training camp. He's going to have some, you know, casual gym time, you know, without the COVID restrictions, it looks like in September, et cetera. So I want to see how that impacts his coaching this year. And, you know, I think we all agree that if the Bulls don't make the playoffs next season, it's got to be considered a failure. I mean, especially when they move to win now mode with that. So what are your thoughts on that kind of dynamic that I raised there?
I agree completely. I think the buck stops next season for everyone. I mean, they sped up the timeline. You know, you're at a pivot point when you take over an organization that was in the place the Bulls were at this time last year. You've got at this time last year, they had a borderline all-star candidate in Zach LaVine, and you've got some, you know, what I think we would call interesting young guys from a talent perspective on the team. And there's a question of, do you want to build around what you have and try to, you know, take steps up the Eastern Conference ladder? Do you want to rip it down and do the full rebuild path? And they went the former way. They went the former direction. Obviously midseason things changed. Zach made a huge leap. And, you know, we've talked about the process behind the trade a lot. It's a process that's easy to see. And it's a decision that I'm sure the Bulls would say that they would make again if they could go back. But it certainly starts the timeline of, okay, we need to make the playoffs now. Okay, that didn't happen. It's a disappointment. It's a failure. It's whatever you want to call it. But like you said, Casey, the excuses, I hesitate to call them excuses because I don't think the Bulls were intending to use them that way, but I'm sure you could call them that. But all of that, all of the kind of explain it away reasons for why things didn't come to fruition this year melt away next season, because not only are they going to have a full offseason, a full training camp, potentially they'll just have had more time to shape the roster and their image, the front office, through free agency and whatever kind of creative solutions they're able to use. Not only will they have that, they're also, you know, the hope is that it'll be a more, you know, a closer to normal league calendar next year. It'll be closer to normal in terms of, you know, the rigorous kind of testing every day that put a strain and kind of put a drain on people as the season played out. So absolutely. I mean, we've talked about on this podcast ad nauseum, it's top six at minimum next year in terms of expectations to me, assuming the play-in's back. Cause you can't make a move like that and invest that much future draft capital and kind of put yourself so firmly on this path, especially with your best player up for an extension at the end of next season or entering free agency at the end of next season, I should say. It's got to come to fruition soon. So I agree completely. It'll be something interesting to watch how the team with a full year under its belt under Billy and then a full off season and kind of time to digest what went wrong this year and adapt. It'll be interesting to see how they respond to all that.
Yeah, man. Billy got an entire year for a free pass. We enjoyed all those press conferences of him dissecting what went wrong through some of those collapsing games. And we were right there with him. We were like, yes, somebody sees it. He acknowledges it. Yes, thank you. But going into this year, I mean, now it's looking at him. You know, now it's like, okay, these are your pieces now. You had the time with him. You had the, you know, the necessary training camps and whatnot as we get to a more regularly scheduled season. Let's see it now. Let's see why Arturis pointed you out as the best candidate amongst your peers. Why he stopped everything to go get you. Next year, we need to see the growth. Otherwise, again, like you guys mentioned before, missing the playoffs – okay, going in, if you sneak in into the play-in tournament, I think you kind of even off where people won't feel great, but hey, at least you're playing meaningful basketball. But the goal is to be in the playoffs. That's it. Not the play-in, to be in the playoffs, because they started the timeline. Now, this is supposed to be a collaborative team effort with Arturis and the coaching staff. So I'm pretty sure they've talked about, you know, speeding up the timeline the way they did. Like, hey, I think it's time for us to, you know, kind of cash in the chips right now. But all right, now everything's on you guys now. Now that you've pushed, I would have given them the time. I would have gave them that whole year plus this offseason to figure it out. But they want to go all in. So now we start looking at the important people and not just the players.
All right. No pressure, guys. You know what really helped, though, is adding a top four pick, and we're just going to quickly touch on the lottery. We're not going to spend too much time on it because we have one more podcast between now and next Tuesday's lottery, but we did get some news this week that Mark Eversley will be representing the Bulls virtually at Tuesday's NBA draft lottery. Last year, obviously, Arturis Karnišovas did that for the Bulls. It was one day after he fired Jim Boylan. And the Bulls jumped from 7-4 last year. I can still kind of picture that little grin, that small grin that Arturis had on the ESPN broadcast when they showed him at the Advocate Center. So now it's on Eversley to produce similar luck, because the Bulls, obviously, as we know, have to finish top four to keep the pick, or else it goes to the Magic. So how you guys feeling? Are you feeling lucky? You got 20.3% chance. I believe that's 79.7 negative. So what do you think? Are the Bulls, we're just doing quick predictions here, and then we'll get more into depth on the next podcast. Are they keeping the pick, Rob?
I do not think they keep it. I'm playing the odds. And I remember thinking last year, and Casey, I remember us talking about this at this time last year, that it actually felt like something big was going to happen on lottery. And none of this means anything. Like, this is all like statistics, cut and dry number. Like, it's like flipping a coin. Like, there's no such thing as momentum, like in flipping coins and things like that. But I remember us talking about it last year and being like, there's just no way they're not going to jump up at least to the top, or just with how much news the Bulls had just consistently been in for those 3 or 4 months there. I just remember having a feeling like something big is going to happen here. I do not have that feeling this year. It means nothing. What means something is the 79.7% chance that they're not going to keep their pick. That's just my gut feeling. And it'll be a massive bummer when that happens because this top four, man, I mean, really franchise changing stuff if they can get into that territory by all accounts. But that's my feeling.
Tony, are they keeping the pick or are they losing it?
You know, I don't want them to keep the pick.
You want them to sleep in their bed, Tony?
I don't want them. I want them to work for the Bulls to be great. All the player development stuff. Yeah, no, prove it. No, you don't get a cop out with a franchise changing player at the top of the draft. No, you work to be good.
You're out of your mind.
All right. Before we get out of here, I just want to make
Wait. What do you think, Casey? Put yourself on record here.
Oh, that's right. I was playing host too much there. I think the Bulls do not keep the pick. I'm going to play the odds as well. I've covered so many of these over the years. I think I've used this joke before, but at one point, I believe I was called the Helen Thomas of Secaucus, New Jersey, which you have to be either old or a political junkie to know that reference, but she was a longtime White House correspondent and always got the first question of the president in the White House briefing room. So I was literally called that by somebody from the NBA one time.
Is that how you feel on Zoom every day, Casey? Yeah.
I've covered a lot of these and I just know you typically play the odds. So I think they're losing it. But I do want to say before we get out of here, injuries suck, man. God, this, I mean, you know, these playoffs, I was so into them at the start. I'm still into them. I'm watching them, but I'm just tired of seeing all these big names not being able to play. This is the time of the year when you just want to see teams at full strength, going at each other, stars making big plays. And just, yeah, I got nothing eloquent or more, intelligent to say other than injuries suck. I'm just tired of them. So, I don't know, man. Who's coming out of this? Who's surviving this march to the finish line of the 2021 NBA season?
Somebody's going to be crawling like with a cast, reaching out for the finish line. I think the money won out. Like, I know LeBron went on that rant about, you know, how the last couple seasons ended up turning out. But look, man, you guys needed to make money. And in order for everybody to make money, the seasons had to turn out how they turned out and the bodies fall where they may. It's always going to be that way. The money is always going to win out. How do we make the most money? How do bodies be damned? This is the penance that you have to pay when the money comes first.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. All right. On that note, we're gonna.
I'll pick the Suns to make up for the Chris Paul quote unquote slander that we were complicit in on the last podcast. Well, I don't think I contributed much to it, but it's impossible to predict at this point. I'm just looking forward to see how it plays out, I guess.
All right. Well, we hope everybody gets healthy. Although it's probably a long shot at this point, and we appreciate you listening to the Bulls Talk podcast. We will be back at you with a fresh episode on Draft Lottery Day next week. Until then, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Subscribe if you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning.